that very thing. Father, whether in the reading of your word, the proclaiming of your word, or the receiving of your word, and the praising in light of your word, we pray that your spirit may be at work in us tonight, that we might find that in professing you, proclaiming you, living for you, praying to you, and praising you, we may do so, Lord, with joy in our hearts and thanksgiving and praise. So may your spirit be so at work in us as we receive your word tonight. We pray that you'd hear us in Christ's name. Amen. So we're going to be taking a look tonight again as we continue in our evening service series on Romans, to Romans chapter 1, starting with verse 8 and reading through to verse 15. We started last week by looking at the gracious greeting of the Lord as the apostle was called to his office, called to introduce himself before a body of believers whom he hadn't seen before, but who had been called to be saints. And as he's made that gracious greeting known to the people, he now goes on to speak about the prayers that he's been uttering on their behalf and the thankful heart that he has for these people. And so we look at Romans chapter 1, verses 8 through 15. Starting with verse 8, then, we read from God's Word. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you, because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. For God is my witness, whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I mention you always in my prayers, asking that somehow by God's will I may now at last succeed in coming to you. For I long to see you, that I may impart to you some spiritual gift to strengthen you. That is, that we may be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. I want you to know, brothers, that I have often intended to come to you, but thus far have been prevented, in order that I may reap some harvest among you as well as among the rest of the Gentiles. I am under obligation, both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So I am eager to preach the gospel to you also, who are in Rome. We thank the Lord for this portion of his word. May it truly be a blessing for us tonight, having received it by its reading and also by its ministry in a few moments. Congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, we can show to others that we have a heart for them in different ways. By what we say, by what we give, by the time that we share with them, and indeed, in our prayers for them. The Apostle Paul has never seen the Roman church before. And yet at the very start of his letter to them, that includes talk of visiting them someday, you know that he has a heart for them. And you know it because of his prayers for them. He wants to let them know that even if they haven't seen him or haven't met him face to face, they can have reason to believe that he has a heart for them because of what he prays and why he prays and how he prays for them. We, by God's grace, can always learn from Scripture, and we can learn spiritual lessons here as well as we hear about the apostolic prayers, the apostles' prayer for the church here, or his prayers for the church. And they are prayers, as you notice, they are prayers of thanksgiving, and they are prayers of petition. So we're going to take a look at both of those points tonight. First of all, the prayers of thanks, and literally that. First, because that's how the apostle begins. He begins by saying, first, literally from the text. First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you. Prayers of thanksgiving. Passage starts out with a communication to the church that in his prayers for the Roman church, he has prayed with thanks to God because of what he's heard about them. And we hear that, don't we? I'm thankful as I thank my God through Jesus Christ for all of you because your faith is proclaimed in all the world. And what's especially encouraging is when you see when our thanks to others can have a God-centered and Christ-centered perspective. That's the way in which the Apostle Paul expresses his thanksgiving to these people as he communicates to them, in which he also communicates to God. I thank my God in Jesus Christ for you. It's God-centered, it's Christ-centered. And we don't tend to talk like that. I've said that before. I'm challenged in that. But we can learn, can't we, from the apostles' habit of praying and talking with thanksgiving. It's good to say thanks to people, but there's something more blessed when in our thanks we can express that we are thankful to God for others in Christ. It's of great encouragement to know that God is in our midst, never leaving us nor forsaking us. And that's true blessing. And this introduction to the Romans expresses that encouraging tone. Let me start with this. It's a tone that also shows that thanksgiving, first to be mentioned, the word that's used there is the word we use for proton. It's elemental. It is foundational. It is initial. And it shows priority for Paul. This tone that shows thanksgiving, it indicates that gratitude is a priority for Paul. Before God and with other people in the Lord and with his entire life. Thanksgiving is meant to be a prioritized spirit in the heart of every Christian person, every believer in Christ. That's what should be the tone that people notice about us. Gratitude should be something that others see from us, as with the Apostle Paul, from the start, proton, first, that they see us and they can say, there goes a Christian. There goes a grateful person. And the reason that Paul thanks God is because the Romans have displayed a worldwide known faith. Your faith has been proclaimed throughout the world. Such faith only occurs through the grace of God in Jesus Christ, which is why he puts it the way he does. Jesus is the reason that God has so blessed, and God deserves grateful praise for endowing the Romans with such faith. He's given them the gift of faith that is so renowned. Paul says that their faith has become well known. It is that which has been proclaimed in all the world. One reason for that is because it is a faith that has radiated, of course, out of the Roman capital. It's the center of the civilized world. At least it was at the time. And communication flowed well out of Rome. And so news of this faith spreads as well. Another reason, and deeper, that their faith became well known, though, was that it was fruitful and genuine faith. It became known. It wasn't hidden faith. Genuine faith displays its fruit. And nobody had to guess then that these people were Christians or be surprised that they professed themselves to be Christians. Because the Christian faith had made such a difference in their lives that it was a faith that stood out. It was a faith that people didn't have to question. It was a faith that rested in Christ alone. And they rejoiced in that salvation and they rejoiced in that gospel. And it showed. And that's to be the faith of every believer. Not a show-offish kind of faith. That's not what we were talking about. We know about that kind of grandstanding that can happen. But a faith that when people would see us or people would hear us, they'd have to say, you know what, these people do live differently. They follow a higher standard. These are people whose faith dictates their lives in a genuine way. They're not just cultural Christians, you know, people who act a certain way that makes you think more of their ethnicity than you do about their creed, more about where they live than in whom is living in them. No, they're creedal Christians, and they act a certain way because they know, like we heard this morning as we sang, they know what they believe. And they believe that faith should make a difference in the way that they live for the good and for the glory of God. They know what a difference grace has made in their lives. And they know what it means to lean on the everlasting arms. And they know what it means to serve. And they live for their Savior and not for themselves. And they not only take joy in being saved then, they take joy in serving their Savior. And you and I are called to have a faith then where people can say, you know, their faith makes a difference in their lives. And you can tell that those people are believers in the gospel and grace and salvation of Jesus Christ. And Paul's also thankful because he shares a bond with these people. He calls them brothers. And of course, that doesn't leave out the sisters, but it's that family term. He's part of the family of God with them. He's part of the fellowship of believers with them. And so he's thankful that he shares a bond with these people. It's like he'll say later on in the letter that he rejoices with those who rejoice. He's bonded together with them. Besides, why would he be thankful for their faith if he didn't share that faith with them and saw the importance of such a faith and the joy of such a fruitfulness that they have been displaying? He's thankful for them and he's thankful with them. He's glad to be associated with them. And that's the attitude that, of course, we should have as Christians as well. He's glad to be associated with the Church of Jesus Christ. And often we ought to be that way as well. And what that does is that then leads us, as we're talking here, first of all, about Thanksgiving, it leads us into the petitions that he's carrying out as well. And it's a good transition because this bond for which the apostle gives thanks leads itself into Paul's prayer of petition. Because the apostle says, I'm a thankful prayer for you because I've got a sincere heart for the gospel and therefore for you. He calls God to witness of this truth. He says, God is my witness whom I serve with my spirit in the gospel of his Son, that without ceasing I mention you always in my prayers, asking that somehow, by God's will, I may now at last succeed in coming to you. See, because of his heart for the gospel and his heart for God, he has a heart for these people. And he sincerely desires to be with them. That's part of his Christian understanding. He sincerely desires to be with God's people. He sincerely desires to be with these people with whom he's never been before. And his prayers reflect that as he prays for the Romans and prays that there may be a time that might be opened up by God's will so that he can be with them. And he prays for this as he prays for them all the time. Now, part of the love that he shows then is is not just that he prays in thanksgiving for them, but also because what he wants in the long-term scale of things is to see them grow in that fruitfulness that's already been made known throughout the world. If he can be part of the way that that happens by God's grace, then he prays with petition that that could happen by him being with them. That's what he's praying for. He wants to be with them. He says, as he does here, "I long to see you." Now, there was no FaceTime, there was no Skype, there was none of that technology that allowed you the luxury like we have today, that if you can't be with somebody, you can see them. When he's talking about seeing them, he means being with them. He longs for that, that he might impart to them some spiritual gift to strengthen them, that they might be mutually encouraged by each other's faith, both yours and mine. And while he prays that he might be with them, that hasn't been able to happen up until now. Now sometimes we have that happen to us. And we hear he says, "I want you to know, brothers, that I've often intended to come to you, but thus far have been prevented." We have that happen, don't we? We have it happen to us sometimes. We long to be with the people that we love in Jesus Christ when we're Christian people. And as we think about our loved ones and in family, we love the opportunities to be with them. And we love to be able to spend more time with them. Sometimes we might even say, "Boy, I wish we could be with these people and those people in Christ. It'd be such a blessing for us both that way." And that doesn't have to be people that are, you know, hundreds of miles away. It could be people nearby you, because you appreciate them. Appreciate what they do for you. Appreciate what they mean to you. And there are times where you say to yourself, "Boy, you know, I wish we could be with these people more often." I have that myself. We have that experience as a family, where when it comes to people who have been such a prophet to us over the years, whether it's here or whether it's farther away, there are those times that we wish that we could make it work so that we could be with them more. More who are close by or more that are far away. But it doesn't always work out. Why is that? Well, like with the Apostle Paul, other things prevent it. Good things often. I mean, for the Apostle Paul, it wasn't like he was slacking and he didn't want to be with these people at all. He had other things that he had to do. And they were good things. And in the process, God's will is that such things don't always occur, or they don't occur at the time that we necessarily would like them to happen. Sometimes, of course, we just have to make time, as we say. We will say, "Well, we ought to get together sometime." And then, well, we never make it happen. So we got to make time for that. But sometimes it doesn't work out. And we don't like that. But it happens. We have legitimate reasons, priorities, responsibilities, and they keep us from those connections for which we long. Because we appreciate people in the Lord. We just can't be everywhere at once. We can't be all things to all people. And sometimes that's something that God makes very clear to us. And he certainly did to the Apostle Paul. But it's good for us to continue to pray for those times when we can share more time with God's people, because it's good to be with God's people. It's good. such times will be a blessing to us, and we pray that we might be a blessing to others when we can be together with the people of God. If nothing else, it's a blessing when we're able to be with God's people Lord's Day to Lord's Day in worship. We ought to see it that way. It's good to be together with God's people. And in days when so much isolation has occurred over the last 2 years, we get reminded in passages like this one that the times that we can be together with loved ones in the Lord are most precious indeed. They're encouraging times. That's what the apostle sees here. For them, for him. Part of good, prayerful petition. And maybe now as much as ever is when we pray that we can be with others in Christ as much as possible. And surely that's the Apostle's spirit in his prayer. He wants to be a blessing to others when he gets together with them. He says that, among other things, that he hopes he can share a spiritual gift with them. Now, for him, if you look at the context, and look at even just at what we read, when you're thinking, well, what would that spiritual gift have been? For him, it would have been preaching the gospel. Because he says, I'm eager to preach the gospel to you, also who are in Rome, because I'm not ashamed of the gospel, because it's the power of God for salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. He knows that this is something that he can share with them freely and for their benefit. The preaching of the gospel is a gift to share. And he's looking for a harvest. And whether it's in edifying the people of God or evangelizing others to be part of the people of God, he's looking for a harvest wherever he ministers. And such a preaching is intended then for our fruitfulness and our encouragement to fruitfulness, because that's what he's encouraging these people in his gospel preaching. And that's why we hear the gospel too, as we do from Lord's Day to Lord's Day. I found it interesting that Craig picked I Love to Tell the Story, because that was the song that was on my mind as I was preparing this passage and preparing this sermon. Among other things, the gospel enriches us so that we might go forth in renewed confidence and encouragement. You know, we hear the gospel, and the response is meant to be, you know, isn't God gracious to us? Isn't that wonderful how gracious he is to us? Amazingly gracious he is to us. And isn't it wonderful that he's with us as he's promised, and that he will be? And isn't it a joyful and fruitful thing for us to serve our Savior and King from day to day, which is what life's all about? We get to be reminded of that again in the gospel. We need those encouragements. We need that kind of bolstering. We need those reminders. The gospel gives that to us. And as it's proclaimed to us from week to week and far from preaching it less, it needs to be preached more. And yet as Paul prays for the opportunity to bring a harvest to others, he shows his humility as well. Here's this apostle who has seen the Lord, who's received a direct mandate from Christ to preach the gospel to others, and particularly to the Gentiles, and you'd say, wow, that's quite the man. And yet, he humbly views these fellow believers whom he's never seen before as those who have something to offer him as well, because there's a mutual encouragement going on for me and for you, he said. It's not just that he's going to be a blessing to them as he comes into their midst, but that he will be blessed by those who have already come to know the grace of God. And of course, that happens often in the Christian life, doesn't it? We we go to visit somebody else to encourage them, and we come away encouraged because of their strength of faith. And we come away thinking, wow, I could sure learn from that. Or we come to know someone who's new in the faith, and we're seeking to encourage them or educate them, and they encourage us because it's so wonderful to see a life that's been changed by God's grace. And we come away rejoicing in seeing how God can change people. And it's great to be praying that we might be a blessing to our fellow believers in their presence, like the Apostle Paul does. But we can also pray humbly for the ways these people will be a blessing to us in our presence, longing to be with them. Longing to be with them. We pray in humility to be a blessing. God will use us that way. But in humility, we can also be praying for the blessing we can receive from our fellow believers just by being with them. And that's how it all works in the communion of the saints, the fellowship of believers. The Christian life isn't just about me and my Lord, but it's about His people with me and my Lord. From our text, we notice that this spirit of humility drives Paul to share the gospel with all kinds of people. That's part of what he's praying to be able to do. He says that I'm under obligation both to Greeks and to barbarians, both to the wise and to the foolish. So I'm eager to preach the gospel to you also who are in Rome. You know, they may be people who are considered intellectual, cultured. No doubt Rome could be like that. Or they could be considered by the world as unlearned, barbarian. Greeks or non-Greeks. But Paul's not picky. And he's not partial. And he's no snob. Because he knows he himself is a product of grace. He says that he owes this to all kinds of people to be a proclaimer of the gospel because he too is a product of grace. He's no better. Because all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. He's going to say that later in Romans. And so he's eager in that spirit to share the gospel with anyone. He even calls himself a debtor to them. He owes it to them because of what God and His grace has given unto him. No matter who we might think we are, we're all in need of the gospel. A while back, about 15 years ago, I remember sharing what was called a mother's prayer at a funeral from a family whose mother passed away. One thing I remember about that prayer was that it mentioned that what mattered the most for that mother was not so, first of all, what their children did for a living or their grandchildren did for a living and how proud they were of those things. But what mattered to that mother was whether their children and their grandchildren were walking in the truth of the gospel, because she knew that's what those children and grandchildren needed the most. And that's true for us all. We all need the gospel. We need it to be saved. We need it for our growth in the faith and to make life worthwhile. And whether we've got a great school education or whether we have a doctorate from Yale, or we don't have any formal education at all, everybody is in need of the gospel of grace. And that's why the gospel goes out. It's why the church needs to be eager to continue to proclaim it, because we all need to hear it. Even if it's an old, old story. And we know it best. Because Christians hunger and thirst to hear it. And the apostle prays that he might share it. apostle's example continues to ring out to us, my friends. An example of thankful prayer and encouragement as he sees God's work in the lives of people whose faith is no surprise, or it's certainly an evident one. And may Thanksgiving be a priority for us as it was for him. And may our faith be evident and an encouragement. That encouragement might be a hallmark of our lives for the gospel's sake. That when people think about us, think about what an encouragement we are to others. May we also pray that the gospel may be a blessing to many and to ourselves. And that we might be eager to be a blessing and to receive a blessing in the fellowship of believers. To be eager to be with God's people. Such were the prayers of the apostles. And such prayers of thanks and petition are to be our prayers as well. Amen. Let's take a moment to respond in prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, again, we're thankful for the time to rally around your word. May gratitude and the desire to be a blessing and encouraging be hallmarks of our lives. May we be eager to see to it that the gospel is proclaimed, eager to be a blessing to others, to receive blessing from others. Father, we pray that we might be in prayer and in our very conversation a people of gratitude that shows forth, as it did in the apostle long ago, that representative of Christ Jesus himself. Because we have reason to take joy in serving you. Oh, Father, may it be evident to all those around us that we are followers, encouraging, grateful followers, believers in the grace of our God and Lord Jesus Christ. And may we, as recipients of thankful prayers and thankful words, be encouraged to see that you truly are with us as we walk the lives that you've called us to walk and exercise the faith you've called us to exercise in Jesus Christ. Thank you, Father, for these apostolic prayers of Paul long ago that teach us lessons today, and may you hear us in Jesus' name.